And thanks so much for spending part of your Saturday morning with us here on Investor IQ. My name is Glenn Wessel. Just before the break, we were discussing the fact that Susie Orman apparently, a year ago or so, made a blanket recommendation that people ought to invest in municipal bonds. And we were just kind of kicking that around a little bit, talking about the problems with making blanket recommendations to a general listenership where you have no idea what the specific circumstances are for any given listener. That's why in this show, you're not going to hear us say you ought to do this or you ought to do that. The most we're going to do is raise a topic, kick it back and forth a little bit, try to highlight the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then put you in a better position to go forward from there. So before the break, we were talking about the lower yields on municipal debt when a state or a municipality issues a bond. Because it's a tax-exempt organization, and because the investor need not, in general, pay taxes on that obligation, it gives the municipality or the state an advantage, because instead of pricing that bond to yield 6%, it can offer the bond at, let's say, 3.75% or 4%, and that would be attractive to somebody who's in a high tax bracket. So one of the issues is that I would say 80% of anyone's listenership, no matter what station it's on or what TV station, radio show, are going to be in relatively low tax brackets, less than, let's say, 25%. In general, if you're in a marginal tax bracket that's less than 25%, which, by the way, can get you quite a sum of taxable income. A joint filer, I think, can have somewhere around $80,000 of taxable income and still be beneath the 25% tax bracket. That figure is not precise, but it's in that general realm. Most people don't have that much taxable income. Not gross income, taxable. That's after deductions and itemizations and personal exemptions and all that. So the great majority of her listenership, I would imagine, would be in a tax bracket that would be well below that which would be, make the investment in municipal securities a rewarding one. So what about the growth or the equity versus fixed income argument? Why don't you just polish that off before we go on to the next thing?
Yeah, so maybe their portfolio should be more structured towards growth if they're a younger person. Maybe they're not really in need of income at this point in time. And at that point, they could have just bought some growth stocks or a growth mutual fund, and it would have recovered even more than municipals have recovered since that point in time. Another point would be that she's not even saying if she's recommending general revenue bonds or
general obligation. Airport bonds,
right.
Or industrial revenue bonds. If you mentioned that already, I'm sorry.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's really not telling people which credit quality to go to,
right.
Or
As if it's all one homogeneous asset class.
Right, or what maturity to stick to.
Right, right. Because so, yeah, the yield curve could be attractive in certain maturity segments and be much less attractive in other maturity segments. So anyway, any time you hear an advisor or a talking head like me or anyone else on the radio or TV making any kind of blanket recommendation about what you ought to do, I would say you ought to just go ahead and ignore that. What you would be more interested in, I hope, would be the reasons as to why one might consider doing something or why one might not. So let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about some of the goings-on with respect to the Federal Reserve. Within the last week or so, Ben Bernanke, who's the chairman of the Federal Reserve, has made some comments about the unwinding of some of the stimulus that has been put into the economy. We regard that as especially important with respect to what we might do with our clients' portfolios. So let's just take a few minutes to explore what it is that's going on with the Fed. So everyone knows that the Fed has begun to stimulate our economy very, very heavily with billions and billions of dollars of new money that's introduced into the system to try to spur along the economy. Rob, why don't you throw out some of the major policy tools that the Federal Reserve uses, and after we discuss them, then we'll get into the implications as to what it means for investors today, or what I should say, what it may mean for investors today.
So the Fed can use open market activity. It can also use the discount rate that it charges to member banks. It can also use reserve requirements. And as a final tool, it can use moral suasion.
All right. So let's take them in reverse order. Moral suasion is basically when the Fed comes out and says, you ought to do this or you ought to do that. Greenspan came out and what was he saying? That we've been on a spending binge.
Right.
I forgot how he made a quote that was often quoted. I can't think of it at the moment, but in effect, he's trying to guide how people ought to act. That's called moral suasion, and generally speaking, it's regarded as being the least effective policy tool by the Fed. Fair enough, Rob? You agree with
yes.
that? Okay. So going in reverse order, again, you mentioned the reserve requirement. Anytime the Fed introduces a new dollar into the economy, the banks have to keep a percentage of that dollar liquid with the Federal Reserve. It means it has to kind of stay stagnant. So if the reserve requirement is 10%, that means when a bank gets that new dollar, it can lend 90 cents of that dollar, but it has to keep the 10 cents. When the next bank gets that 90 cents, it has to keep 9 cents of that 90 cents, and then it can lend the 81 cents, and so on and so on and so on. And that's why a dollar introduced into the economy by the Fed can have a much greater impact on the economy because of what's called the money multiplier. Okay, the problem in today's economy, or at least a year ago, was that as the Fed was stimulating, banks weren't lending the money. So there was really no money multiplying going on, and the Fed stimulus wasn't really working. So that is a policy tool that the Fed does not often use. The reserve requirements, for the most part, are relatively static. The Fed has other tools that it prefers. That takes us to the end of this segment. My name is Glenn Wessel. I'm sitting here with Rob Simon. We're going to try to help you figure out what you might do based on the Fed's recent rumblings. We'll be back in just a moment.